From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Contrary to what you may have seen at the movies last year, Kazakhstan is doing quite well economically. Throughout most of the 20th century, the country was an isolated backwater of the Soviet Union. Now, thanks in large part to the soaring price of oil, Kazakhstan has become one of the world's fastest-growing economies. Companies and governments are competing for access to the landlocked republic's vast deposits of oil and natural gas. From western Kazakhstan, NPR's Ivan Watson reports.
Lars Kaiser is a Danish oil worker whose daily commute takes him more than an hour down rutty dirt roads through countryside that's bleak and flat as far as the eye can see.
We approximate 24 meters below sea level, and as you see around here, dried out salt lakes and tough track we're on here.
Kaiser is headed to a sprawling oil field in western Kazakhstan, where his company, Max Petroleum, has won the right to extract oil. That's easier said than done here. On this day, the pump on one of the company's oil wells has gotten clogged with sand.
I would like to have the gas can, please, otherwise we'll just fill up with oil and oil and oil and oil.
A trickle of green-tinted oil spills out of a pipe as workers struggle with the pump. By lunchtime, Kaiser's crew gets the well up and running again. A hose hisses and throbs as highly pressurized oil jets through it into a waiting tank at a rate of 650 barrels a day. These days, crude oil sells for more than $60 a barrel, so this single well can make tens of thousands of dollars in a single day.
This is a pretty good well, yes, so we are looking at some decent money coming in here, yes. This well here will pay back in about a month with the rate it's flowing at right now.
Kazakhstan is in the midst of an economic boom. Thanks to its enormous deposits of oil, natural gas, and uranium, the country has become a much sought-after prize in the global scramble for dwindling energy supplies. Kazakhstan currently produces more than 1 million barrels of oil a day. John Roberts, an energy security analyst at Platts, predicts that figure will more than double over the next 5 years as offshore production expands on Kazakhstan's side of the Caspian Sea.
As our demand for oil grows, we're going to be increasingly dependent on Caspian resources, and we're a little concerned as to how we're going to get it to market.
Until recently, all of the pipelines used to export oil and natural gas from Kazakhstan and from neighboring Turkmenistan went through Russia, which is itself an oil and gas-producing state. The U.S. and Europe have tried to break this Russian monopoly by lobbying for the construction of a new pipeline towards Europe that would bypass Russian territory by running from Central Asia under the Caspian Sea to Azerbaijan and then Turkey. Richard Boucher is U.S. Assistant Secretary of State overseeing Central Asia.
What we hear from the companies and from others is that there's going to be volumes, large volumes of oil and then gas that need to get out somehow, that they want to sell to the markets, and having multiple routes is good for them to do that.
American oil companies are big players in Kazakhstan, with more than $13 billion invested here. But it is the European Union that stands to gain the most from an alternate pipeline route. The EU depends on gas from Russia to generate much of its heat and electricity. And that supply was threatened last year when Moscow shut off the gas pipeline to Europe during a price dispute with Ukraine.
It was very dangerous for Europe.
Aliya Baydabekova is an energy specialist at the European Union's office in Almaty.
EU depends very much on Russian supplies of gas. So it is for the security reasons they need to diversify their sources of energy.
But last month, Russian President Vladimir Putin dealt a blow to European plans for an alternate pipeline when he signed an agreement to construct a new natural gas pipeline from Turkmenistan across Kazakhstan to Russia. Again, Platts energy security analyst John Roberts.
The Russians basically don't respond kindly to the idea of competition. They like the idea of being in control, and they view alternative routes as at the very least a challenge and probably more likely a threat.
Meanwhile, a new player has recently emerged in what some analysts are calling Central Asia's pipeline wars. At the end of 2005, Kazakhstan began pumping oil through a new cross-border pipeline to its eastern neighbor, China. The Eurasia Group's Tanya Costello says Chinese state oil companies are increasingly competitive in Central Asia.
And that is partly because there is a lot of Chinese investment going into the region, but also because the Chinese government appears to have been more willing to overlook issues such as, you know, democratic failings of governments in the region, doesn't really discuss human rights issues.
Last month, Kazakhstan's authoritarian president, Nursultan Nazarbayev, changed the constitution to grant himself unlimited terms in office, a move critics say makes him de facto president for life. But that issue apparently was not raised at a biannual meeting this month between Nazarbayev and top executives of more than a dozen major Western companies doing business in Kazakhstan. They included Deutsche Bank, Chevron, Baker & McKenzie, and ExxonMobil. Ole Utsin, an oil company executive who also serves as the chairman of the Kazakhstan Petroleum Association, says foreign investors are focusing on Kazakhstan's profitability, not its politics.
They will be an economic powerhouse going forward. They have economic growth rates that rival those of China. And these people will be amazingly wealthy in the future.
But here in what's ranked as one of the world's more corrupt countries, many Kazakhstanis aren't getting a share of the money, argues Togjan Kizatova, a political activist who lives in the western city of Atyrau.
Atyrau is the capital, oil capital of Kazakhstan.
She takes a visitor to a gated community for oil company managers that has sprung up downtown next to sleek new hotels and office buildings.
What is this called?
American Village.
Locals call it the American Village because the development's houses, lawns, and sidewalks appear to be modeled after an American suburb. Just two blocks away is a more Kazakhstani neighborhood. Here, barefoot children wander on trash-strewn, unpaved streets between sagging apartment buildings that don't even have running water. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Atyrau, Kazakhstan.
And you can see a breakdown of which countries import oil from Kazakhstan and how much at npr.org.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.